Well, it's a Ty Tuesday. That means the Hall of Famer Ty Law is with us this morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah, man. Hey, before we get started for the next segment, could we hold up these shots of Corvus? This is Coco's birthday. We got to take a shot for Coco's birthday.
I don't know. Are we allowed?
Yeah, man.
Corvus vodka. I mean, I guess it's somebody's birthday.
Cheers to Coco. Grilled pineapple. Your favorite one, right? Grilled pineapple.
Happy 33rd, Courtney.
Thank you.
Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Don't look
the
day over 29.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good. All right.
Thank you. There we go.
Always goes down smooth.
Yeah.
Smooth.
Go get that.
So,
mm-hmm.
I want to ask you a question about Gerard Mayo because you played for arguably the greatest to ever do it. And I.
Ain't no argument about that, but go ahead.
Watching Gerard Mayo on field in game, he doesn't appear to do a lot of coaching. Mm-hmm. Never played professional football, so you did. On the defensive side of the football, is that weird to you that you don't see Mayo doing that?
I mean, because I played with Coach Belichick, the greatest, you expect all coaches to kind of handle it that way, especially being a defensive guy, and they're having most of their problems. They have problems all across the board, but especially on defense. So when Gerard doesn't come over to grab the tablet or whatever they're doing mm-hmm. and jumping up in everybody's face and getting in their grill, that is a little bit different. But some people just, delegate to their coordinators.
Okay, but he's not calling plays. So right. I mean, either side, what is he doing?
Probably everything. Well, I would ask Ty this then.
I'm like, what?
Maybe Belichick's not the right example. What was it like with Parcells? Did Parcells come over, or did he delegate and kind of – because it seems like Gerard's delegated and staying out of the way and looking at the big
Parcells
picture.
Would delegate, and you can see him jumping on, Bill, if Belichick, if
right.
you'll see him go there. He'll come over to the defense to get our minds right. So like I said, he was a master manipulator, so it might not have been through the X's and O's, but he's definitely going to come and coach his way, whether that's, jumping on your ass and say, you better get it together, or I'm going to bench you. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's a motivator. When I grew up, the best motivator was getting put on the bench.
Right.
You know what I mean? The fear of sitting down and not participating. So I think he has to do something other than just delegate and stay there and coach mm-hmm. and get the stuff back through his microphone. You have to be an active participant, not only, coaching the team, but, hey, if need be, going into that offensive huddle mm-hmm. on the sideline, doing those adjustments at halftime. If you need to get on your defense, you know what? Get off the sideline. Hey, offensive coordinator, if you're going to delegate, I need to go talk to the defense because they soft as hell.
I'm not being facetious. I'm asking this seriously. When they decide that they're going to go for two, is he making that decision?
I was questioning that, honestly, I don't know.
I would think he would be.
I would think he would be.
I would think he'd be saying,
Alex,
have your best two-point conversion play, because if we score, we're going for two.
No, because I don't believe that he made the decision to start.
He might be, he might be one of those coaches, like, I don't know, because I'm not there. He might be like, hey, guys, what you think? And then he get all these different opinions.
Go for two.
Yeah.
Don't go for two.
Bill Belichick is going to be like, he going to ask one person.
Earn.
They actually have
what should we do? And this is what we going to do. Or he going to sit there and say, this is what we do, and we got to deal with it.
I think that's the difference. They have a fan on the headsets, and they let the fan pick.
Yeah. That's
it's like Ken with his headsets. Whenever he makes a decision here, he calls Greg.
It's like the pick of the week.
I mean,
he stood by the decision yesterday when he talked about it. So, maybe it was him. But Wiggy was on this yesterday where the would you rather be feared or loved, and that maybe Mayo's struggling with that.
Right.
That was, you put it perfectly, that maybe Mayo just likes to be that player's coach who's so loved.
Right. Who doesn't want to be loved?
I'd rather be feared, though. It's the great moment from A Bronx Tale where Calogero says to Sonny, would you rather be feared or loved? And fear, and I think, Ty, my point was, I don't think no coaches in today's era really coach that way. Like, how many guys are worried about being benched? He benched. Courtney brought this amazing point. Ramondre Stevenson fumbled like four times.
Right.
He literally sat for two plays.
You have to, in considering what Gerard Mayo has done so far, and I get it, Ty made a great point. He's a rookie, so he's going to make mistakes. But I guess I'll call it the discipline element,
mm-hmm.
is lacking.
That don't exist in today's
right.
culture.
When was the last disciplinarian to win a Super Bowl as a head coach?
It was probably Bill Belichick.
Right. So you have Andy Reid, you have Sean McVay, you have Bruce Arians. I mean, those are that's the modern player.
It's a different era.
I understand.
But you also got to look who they got leading the team as far as their quarterbacks and things like that. When you're talking about Andy Reid, you don't got to be a disciplinarian. You got Patrick Mahomes right there.
You don't have to be a disciplinarian.
You don't have to be that.
I'm talking
when Bruce Arians went down Tom Brady.
When I was attacked as a senior citizen by a tight end, I would have done something discipline-wise, but he didn't. So
see, I'm talking about teams that don't have that. I'm talking like Detroit. You brought up the Rams. Like, I don't think Sean McVay's a disciplinarian. I don't think that even Dan Campbell's that way.
No, Dan Campbell, though, is a guy that you fear. You love him.
Yes.
If you
he got respect.
If you go, what?
I think
don't side eye me.
I'm giving you the side
That's
eye.
Like sighing is the side eye.
I think Dan Campbell would rip you a new one.
I think the guys respect Dan Campbell. Do you really think that somebody like, you know, Amara St. Brown is worried about getting benched, or even Jameson Williams got suspended again. Like, I don't think they fear these coaches because
they don't fear Dan Campbell.
No, they might respect him, but they're not worried about
that. Like, that's Bill, what you want at the end of the day.
Yeah, but Bill would literally, he told me after the Rams game at Gillette when we almost won that game, mm-hmm. he said, listen, if I don't get the backside cut off, regardless if the guy's in basically a five technique over the tackle, he was going to cut me. And I knew that to be true because I seen him do it before. Parcells cut a guy right then on the field because he didn't pass the conditioning test.
Do you think that's why?
That's what I'm saying. That was different because he will cut you right there. Man, he used to have a bus. Yeah. At the end, if you don't pass conditioning, just go get on the bus and leave. But he told me I'm going to be the first round draft pick in the history of the NFL to get cut.
Right.
Because I did something wrong, but that's what he told me.
Yeah. But he would do it.
Not like I was scared. You know, but I mean, I'm a little bit different. Some people get afraid of that, but you have to – I don't think you should fear a coach, but you should respect him.
Right.
You know, fear him enough to understand that, you know what, he might do this. Some coaches don't have no respect or no sense of fear because you're not going to do anything to me.
Do you think that's why Brian Flores isn't a head coach anymore? Because he maybe has that mentality of instilling fear?
That's what Tua said.
Yeah, maybe he's too aggressive. Like in the sense of
Tua
like
aggressive.
Look where he came from.
Yeah.
Look where he came from. So, you know, absolutely. So those and I think people now, you can look at it as a whole from the social media, everybody got a voice now. Mm-hmm. You know, things are not kept in house. So people feel like I can say what's really going on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm telling all the locker room secrets. So I think it might be a fear from a coach's standpoint because you get the wrong player, he'll come up in there while you're thinking, be like this. With the damn phone, you know, taping everything, then put it out there. You know what I mean? So it's probably a fear on that end too.
Pats Jets this weekend. Are you surprised by what Aaron Rodgers isn't so far this season?
You know, to be honest with you, I'm very surprised. I thought he would be playing a lot better, you know, because that is Aaron Rodgers. You know, he is one of the greatest of all time, you know, even though he's not playing like it right now. So I think one of the biggest shocks to me all season, mm-hmm. even more so than the Patriots just looking that bad, I did not expect Aaron Rodgers to be in this position right here.
See, he needs one of those Belichick type coaches that dig up all in that ass when he's not doing what he's doing. We heard Brady and Bill
digging into his nose,
bumping heads. But he needs a guy on Monday morning meeting. I know you're Aaron Rodgers, but guess what? I'm going to call you out and say, hey, listen, I can get a kid from Foxborough High School to throw that pass. And I think
that's why he doesn't have a job this year. I'm not saying it's the right decision, but mm-hmm. the Falcons went with a coddling player, young coach, because they view that that's the direction of the player today.
And I agree with that. And I think that you're Curtis.
But it doesn't mean it's right.
I just said that.
Or it's going to deliver results.
I didn't say that they're right. I said that that's what they perceive to be the players want and the way to get the most out of them today.
And it probably creates too much of like a mutiny because there aren't many coaches out there that can do what Bill does and have a good enough resume where guys will go, okay, we have to respect him to
the
that
fear
level.
Part. There's zero fear, and there's zero. There appears to be zero fear when it comes to what you're doing off the field as well. I mean, there are guys who are just running amok.
No, I think,
and not only with law enforcement, but with
social media,
and everything else. That to me is it's dysfunctional. It's dysfunctional.
But then you can think about, Aaron Rodgers too. He's going into a new team. He is so revered and so feared by even coaches that he knows more than them. And it's like you can't say anything because he has such great success in the league and all the MVP. So what are you really going to tell Aaron Rodgers?
Right.
We don't know. He may have that attitude, but coaches coming in is like, damn, I got to give him that type of respect. He's earned it.
Right.
Bill Belichick didn't care. Tom Brady, he jumped up in Tom Brady just like he was anybody else. You know what I mean? So, Tom, I think he embraced that. But some that's held on that level, on that pedestal, they probably can't take the criticism, can't take the comeback. And that's where the issues be. So you're paying this guy $50-60 million.
Right.
You know what I mean? Look, I can go straight to the owner just like you can.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's where the head start button, and you're not coachable. So I don't know if that's the case, but all I know is Aaron Rodgers, we've heard this in Green Bay. Now we're going up here in New York. Here, because the coach is getting fired. Like I said, I don't know Aaron Rodgers like that. No,
right.
I just know he's an all-time great. But maybe it's something to that, to where they feel that he can't be coached hard because of who he is.
And they are, by the way, they are favored over your New England Patriots this weekend, Curtis, the New York Jets.
For the first time, I think, ever, the Jets lost four straight. They're entering this game 7.5-point favorites.
Damn.
Has there ever been a team that lost four straight games
and then
entered their fifth game as more than a touchdown favorite?
Well, when you're playing against whether you want to call them the homecoming team or the can't-get-right team, that's what you expect.
Well, your team has lost six straight.
So. Yeah, but you're the get-right team. You're like, they're like, all right, who can we whip up on? All right, let's roll out the New England Patriots. The other thing I look at, too, that it's probably harder to do for Mayo and Coach now in this era of football. I think the players today I don't know what's the right word, whether it's entitlement or they feel like they've gotten there when they haven't gotten there. Because I know I would never do what Pop Douglas did. Like, as an undrafted player or a later round player, to be publicly criticizing or complaining about not getting the football and you haven't really done much in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, I was every day, every year that I played, I was scared because I wasn't that guy, so I knew my come up was under Parcells and Belichick and being with the Jets. And if you weren't doing it, they would ship your ass out of here. Forget about going to the media and going, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I think I need more catches.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't done anything in the NFL to warrant that type of juice.
But what Mayo needs, and what all coaches that want to be disciplinarians, they need their best player to buy into that program.
Right.
And that's what Bill and Brady had together. That's what, whether it was Reed and Mahomes, whoever. And Mayo needs to build that. And when you keep saying something and then 24 hours walking it back, it's tough to develop trust because people don't know where you stand.
But even after Tom won his first Super Bowl, you probably could talk better than I can on this. I don't think Tom would be going to the media and complaining about we're not.
But we're talking about today's athlete. That's a totally different era.
Yeah, and I guess maybe that's what it is. Today's athlete, they'll complain, and you'll complain, and you've got three catches on the year, and this is your second year in the league. It's like,
you had to have some type of credibility and even Tom in those days, and he became more vocal later on, but when he first got the first Super Bowl, he wasn't Tom Brady. The GOAT.
You guys ever play with a rookie who gets criticized by his head coach and then stands up there at the podium and says he has the best hands in the NFL?
Can't catch a cold. Right. Exactly. Come on.
Who said that?
Jalen Polk. Talking about he's got, because Gerard said he was dealing with some, maybe it was mentally,
he was
in a funk.
He said, I'm not struggling mentally at all. I have the best
hands. He came and said that.
Yes.
He said it to the media.
Nationally.
Yeah, that he has the best hands in the NFL.
where's the receipts?
It's bad.
Huh? That's my point.
That's what I'm saying. Show me some receipts of that one.
But that's how I think today's, and that's why it has to be extremely difficult to coach, because that's how today's player is.
But I feel like that's the one part of the Mayo interview, Wiggy, I don't know if you agree, yesterday, where it was like, that was such a clear opportunity for Gerard to say, you got to stop with the stupid posts and saying you have the best hands.
Feel that way, though, Curtis. He said, he went on after to say it's their First Amendment right or whatever social media.
Yeah, you know what?
Of course it is. Nobody's saying you should be thrown in jail.
It would be an interesting scenario to see if social media was really like that. Would Bill, would Parcells, with some of the great coaches that we know coach a certain way, how they would have handled it? Because remember, you think about, like, one of my favorites is I would love to play for a guy like Mike Tomlin. You know what I mean? But when he had, you know, AB out there, you know, clowning, you know, you got to handle it a certain way because you never know. You know what I mean?
He's such a great coach.
Man, he is a hell of a coach, and guys love, you know,
but
playing
for
him.
You see him in-game coaching.
Yes.
You see him coaching.
Everyone that I know that played for Mike Tomlin loved playing for
Mike
Tomlin.
I was with him in Minnesota, and the guys loved him over there on defense. I just think that when you look at, and I think maybe some of these coaches take the approach, whether it's Mayo, whether it's Mike McDaniel down in Miami, the approach of like, I can't be harsh on these guys because they'll go into the tank mentally because of the whole...
I don't want those guys on my team.
Right, but that's everybody.
If you can't handle the mental part of it, if you can't handle me getting on you and telling you how you're not playing well for coaches like that, we don't need you in crunch time because we can't count on you.
But
you know
Ty,
I mean?
That's everybody, because you know what the player says? Well, I'm dealing with stuff at home. Be easy on me, coach. I don't know if coach – that's why I said the coaches that we came up under, some of them – I don't know if they can coach in today's game because too many people would be criticizing them about, oh, they're too harsh. This person's dealing with anxiety. This person's dealing with mental health. This person's dealing. So you have to be like, hey, I understand.
Yeah.
Where Parcells does that.
Right. And you can't say nothing now with, you know, the whole mental health thing, because this is a serious issue, you know, from the CTE, all the different things that, you know, it's kind of like, you can't say nothing about it. But somebody got to say it. I will. Now, I've been on locker rooms and in teams where they dealing with something at home, dealing with something with your wife. You at work now. Your wife ain't loud in the building. Let's go play football. Let's win. This is like, really, when I've had issues at home or family or anything like that, you just tired. Guess what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to work. You know, even if it's coming here. Right. I ain't got to deal with nothing. I'm coming here to work, so you got to be able to lock in.
At times, you had issues with the wife and the girlfriend.
No, that's only you, Greg. That's only you.
You know, I ain't falling for that one. Yeah.
But if I did have a wife and a girlfriend, they of age.
Dennis, you're out. Get out of here.
It's all in love.
It's all
how it is in a locker room. That's how it is.
And we even like
take it as well as I'm giving.
Exactly. But again, this should be like, you're supposed to be able to, you know, leave that stuff at home. Because like I can't
say that to anybody now, though.
No, you can't. It's
workplace
crazy.
Or anywhere else. Right. You can't say that. Right.
They would have crucified. There were times when Parcells was like, all right, get him out of my drill. The guy's on the ground rolling around in pain. Get him out of my drill. So,
drag him out injured?
You will move on a different part of the field, 10 yards down, and you will sit there and go back it again. So whoever the trainers, y'all deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And there were times where it's like, all right, if you're hurt, you can walk off the field, like, so we don't have to burn a timeout. But you coaches like that, I don't, because of the way that we have to deal with the feelings and the mental health of players, I don't know if players are even built to play with guys like that.
Think about back then, Greg, if you came to work and said, hey, you make $1 million, you know, back then when things were looked at a little differently, and you was like, you know what, I'm going through anxiety, I ain't gonna, most people are going to be like, man, we don't give a damn. You make $1 million, man. You better get back out on that field. We ain't going to give a damn about your anxiety. You think you got anxiety. What about us that can't pay? You know what I mean? It was a different mentality. But now it's like, I get it. You know, people go through stuff. You know, we all go through stuff. But when you at the workplace, you just got to change the mindset and say, hey, I get away from everything right now. I got to focus on this. You know what I mean? You got to – I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I don't even want to get into it too much because, hell – you get canceled over something that people don't understand. You know,
you're
what
not going to be canceled for saying that you had a different approach to work-life balance. Like, yeah. I mean,
there's also different levels. Like, if people are going through something very serious, that's one thing. But like, if guys aren't able to handle Monday morning highlights or the lowlights, then that's part of your job, and you should be able to handle
that. I mean, Gronk was a perfect example. Gronk was like, all right, I can't take no more Bill calling me out. You know what I mean? So, and he's the greatest tight end ever play the game. I just think that for like Mayo and some of these coaches, it has to be really difficult to be able to walk that fine line. And the only thing I would say where I think Mayo went wrong, I think he tried to be too friendly with the guys and allowed them too much.
Yeah.
And that's what's kind of leading to some of the things.
All right. Ty Law's here. You stay until the end of the show?
Yeah, I'm here with y'all, guys.
All right. Yep. Ty Law's here. It's a Ty Tuesday. Here's Courtney with what is trending this hour.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
It is Banner Night. Our champs kick off the regular season tonight, welcoming the New York Knicks to town. The Banner 18 ceremony will take place at 7 p.m. with tips scheduled for 7:30. Only guy on the injury report to start the season is Kristaps Porzingis, who's rehabbing from his surgery. The Bruins also in action tonight, taking on the Predators in Nashville. Puck drop is at 8:45. The Ravens took down the Bucks 41-31, and the Cardinals beat the Chargers 17-15 in Monday Night Football. And it is bad news for Brandon Ayuk. He has been diagnosed with torn ACL, MCL. He'll be out for the rest of the season. And an MRI has confirmed that Deshaun Watson has ruptured his Achilles. Some breaking news this morning from Tom Pelissero. The Browns are signing Bailey Zappi off of the Chiefs practice squad.
Oh, get that jersey out, Courtney.
Hell yeah. Very
excited
for Zapp.
Did he play against the Browns last year? He played pretty well, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, what's her face? Did she ever unblock you?
Zappi is a Chiefs.
Sophie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Browns
yes,
is on
she
now.
Has unblocked. Okay. I am going to ride the Bailey Zappi train, and I'm going to ride it hard. I'm very happy for my guy.
What's that tell you? That the Browns would rather go with Zappi than Mac Jones?
Great point.
Wow,
Wiggins.
Dunking with Zappi again.
Zappi made me happy.
Excellent. Hey, Wiggy. Mac Jones, he would back
up for Jacksonville.
Yep.
I bet he was happy, huh?
Well, he's on a roster. They'd have to trade for him.
I know, but I'm saying he's probably happy that, you know, Jacksonville went over there and won. You know, he's probably feeling good.
Yeah. You know? Probably don't nobody know. I mean, really, I couldn't even point him out in the game.
That is what's trending. Here is Curtis with your weather.
Happy birthday, Courtney, and the line of the century to Ty Law. 62 degrees and sunny afternoon, high of 71.
Mac Jones did do more on-field coaching on Sunday than Gerard Mayo did, though. I won't tell you that much. We'll be right back.